authors will often say, the Trinity is not so much revealed in the Old Testament as adumbrated there. I finally had to look it up and realize that it meant shadowed forth. So I'm going to teach consistently. I'm going to save the word revelation almost stingily. I'm going to save that for the actual personal appearing of the Son and the Spirit in history, in person. Then I'm going to use the word attestation to talk about the New Testament account of that. And then I'm going to go back and use the word adumbration, shadowing forth, to talk about the way in which the Trinity is present in the Old Testament. Now, if that seems a little bit unusual to you or stingy, the main thing I want to get at there is the order, that we start with what's clearest, and then we move back to what was less clear on its own. I think the order is what you'll find is the most unusual. When we actually do get to the Old Testament, there are lots of things to say about the way in which the Trinity is present there. But in my opinion, God is a good revealer. He's competent at showing us what he wants us to know about things. And if you start with the Old Testament and sort of work your way through, you find yourself getting lost pretty quickly in unclear areas where you say, well, these three men appeared to Abraham, and there are these divine plurals, and there are many strange and unusual phenomena going on in the Old Testament. I believe that if God had wanted us to know at that point in salvation history that he was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he would have made that known. So the overall approach that I'm taking to the doctrine of the Trinity is to try to understand how it fits with what God reveals, when God reveals it, and the purpose for which God reveals it. And the key idea is that the doctrine of the Trinity is actually made known to us when God fulfills his Old Testament promises in the gospel. So the Trinity and the gospel are bundled together, and they always come together. The triunity of God is sort of need-to-know information. It wasn't made known to us until we needed to know it. When did we need to know? When God sent the Son, that's apparently when we needed to know that God has a Son. And so you'll notice in the structure of biblical revelation, God doesn't first say, I am a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and one of these days you'll know why that matters, because one of these days I'll send the Son and the Spirit. Actually, the way God made known to us that he is Father, Son, and Spirit is the Father sent the Son and the Spirit. Now then, of course, you can look back and get all kinds of wonderful information from the Old Testament that helps you make sense of what happened there. So the revelation of the Trinity happens in the actual missions or sendings of the Son and the Spirit. Then we'll look at the attestation and then the adumbration. Another thing I should say about the way I teach this doctrine, just in the interest of time, is that I don't do a complete walkthrough of the history of the development of the doctrine of the Trinity over the last 2,000 years in the Christian church. It's not that I don't know that material. I spent a lot of time studying it. It's not that I don't love that material. I think there's something fascinating and rich in every century of church history with regard to the doctrine of the Trinity. It's such a wonderful study that, again, I think back to those 20 feet of Trinity books I have on my shelves. Most of them include a walkthrough of church history. Because that's already there in a lot of good available books, I'm not going to do it here. And also, I think in the interest of time and space, I want to spend about half my time talking about the Trinity. When I'm talking about the Trinity, I want to spend about half of my time talking about the biblical material itself. I don't want to rush over the biblical material and say, there's a lot of raw materials here, and smart church fathers can come along later and cook that up into something good. I actually want to present the biblical account of the Trinity in such a way that you sort of get the sense, oh, it's kind of a done deal. Developments could happen later on, and that will be helpful and interesting, but God has made known to us what we need to know in the witness of Scripture. Last thing I want to say about my account of God as a competent revealer who, in his perfect word, made known to us exactly the amount we needed to know in exactly the way we needed to know it, is that a lot of people approach the doctrine of the Trinity at the popular level as a mysterious thing about God, and the main point of it is to humble us. So if I did a short lesson on the Trinity, I might conclude it with, and we can't totally understand it, so it's a mystery and we should be humble about what we know about God. Well, I think it's true that we can't know everything about God, and God is incomprehensible and mind-blowing, and if you have a God in your mind who you totally understand, what you probably have there is an idol instead of the real God. All of that's true, and I would want to teach that in any divine attribute or perfection that I talked about. I don't think it's the only thing we should know about the Trinity. I think that God made known to us that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because he wanted us to understand something about that.